sociologists and economists and forward thinkers like Richard Heinberg, who's a very dear friend of mine, have all concluded that, well, hold it, globalization is dead.
Of your own fears, your own greed and ambition, you're in jail. Mr. Magoo, this is the crossroads for me. I won't get Kellogg. Not for a lifetime pass to the Polar Ground. Not if you serve me Cleopatra on a plate.
So now, faced with that, the secret societies, I think, now will become means for what I see to be a very nasty and vicious war to divvy up the resources that are left in a game for survivalists.
Hello, is Richard there?
Who's calling, please?
Mr. Jewison.
Mr. Jewison?
Jewison.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Mr. Jewison, my apologies, sir. Hold, please.
Hello?
Hello, Richard?
Yeah.
How you doing? Norm Jewison.
Ah, the service said Mr. Jewless.
No, Jewison. How you doing? Very good. Listen, I'm sorry to call you at this time. Happy New Year, by the way.
Me, I told you.
JJ, I swear to you on my mother's life.
I have a little bit of a cold, so forgive me. My throat hurts. I can't speak too loud. I'm calling in reference to a project we're doing, and I think you'd be perfect for it. I'd like to send a script over to you right away.
Musical chairs.
You know, Bush, given his personality and his inclinations, when he walked into the presidency, was about the easiest guy in the world to sucker into this war. Mm-hmm. 9/11 was the operation that was mounted in order to give him what he and Cheney and other people had been looking for, their pretext, their Pearl Harbor. And despite the fact that there is evidence for U.S. government complicity in 9/11, all of my research indicates that this was an operation that was mounted at a level way beyond that. And the point of it was, you know, what one nation on the planet?
It's called Fireworks. And basically, it's by TriStar. We're doing a TriStar new comedy. And, you know, there's a delete, and it's you. And
serve as the greatest deterrent to a de facto one world government. Well, that would be the United States of America.
Our women's shoes.
I was washing you down.
Oh, here we are now, Bob. Oh. Out of the spaceship, down healthy in the alien village. This is.
Do that. Not if you gave me a column, would I do it, thing.
You give me a sign, Red, when I get out there. I'll mess around for some time. Okay? Doc, no. You can't get them fucking left-handers out, for Christ, oh fucking mighty.
Another episode of New Metaphysics. Doing a mobile trip this time. Various parts of my body are in transit. A body I think is my own. Also on Mountain Radio. And 3W's newmetaphysics.com, of course. The sort of White House for executive action. The New Metaphysics system. Harry Geiserman. That's my identity. A very special identity it is for me, too. Because it's the only one I've got. And according to the man, I'm living in a window which will close. And then it won't even have existentialism after that. Just be nothing. In fact, it won't even be that, of course. In fact, I don't know what it could be. But I've been hanging on to this life raft. Lost circulation in all my fingers. They've rotted and fall off and are ready. Like in India, that leprosy. Kind of have high blood pressure with all of it. But life being what it is and all, a windowless transit of transcendence, welling up, pooling up, and dispersing, and providing the raw fodder for any kind of system any kind of being could ever want. With boilerplate, of course. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget the setup. Gary at newmetaphysics.com. Email for the major. Military retired. That means I'm a practical pragmatist. I'm a man. I remember faces, names, figures. I can do carpentry in the garage or hobby room. I've been around the world. I've either fooled around or been a religious man. Or both. Don't you know, of course. And I only deal with one kind of geometry, and that's straight ahead Euclid, my friends. Two parallel lines can never, ever meet. When I think about things in this world, socially or geopolitically or even artistically, if the situation demands attention, my reasoning is sound. I only use reasoning, of course. And if I do make a mistake, the error can be found and amended. Like a real man, hair on chest. All the rest, all the others, problematic at best. No place for a reference. No place to pull up some tools at the workbench and go to work. There's nothing to be done except pure human charity, which only goes so far, of course. let's talk to another real man right here.
We're good, Tommy.
I don't give a shit you feel good. There's four motherfucking hits up there.
They all fucking hit the opposite way.
Too. I don't give a fuck.
Tommy, you got a left hander here. I can strike this motherfucker.
I don't
out.
Give a shit, doggy.
And who do you suppose writes the column while Susie and I are away for 3 months? The man on the moon? Thank you, Sydney. And Sydney, I'll have that piece of paper back.
And that, you know, as we can see, what Bush has been pursuing is a policy of American empire. You know, okay, so these people who are the great, globalists, controllers, elites, secret societies, they want to weaken the United States to the greatest degree possible.
All right, thank you, Matt. Let's take you out.
Down further and further to the level of other nations. And so, look at the quagmire that we are now in over there.
When are you planning on doing it?
Well, right now, we're looking at probably June in New York. And, we're looking at Kathy Bates, you, Jimmy Kahn, and but the part is definitely you, and I'd love it if you can at least give it a look. Tell me what you think.
Great, send it over tomorrow, and I'll read it over the next couple of days.
Well, fantastic, then.
Experience, like what an athlete calls a peak experience, or getting into the zone, where it's almost like the music is playing the musician. It's like he transcends, you know, the self, and it's just the spirit playing through him. And I wanted to share something with you, a quote from Bach, on the purpose of his music. First of all, he said the object of all music should be the glory of God. And then on the meaning of the music, he says, I want to demonstrate to the world the architecture of a new and beautiful social commonwealth. Each instrument and counterpoint, and as many contrapuntal parts as there are instruments. It is the enlightened self-discipline of the various parts, each voluntarily imposing on itself the limits of its individual freedom for the well-being of the community. That is my message.
Obviously, a stand-down order was given for U.S. fighter planes in the vicinity of New York and Washington.
And my answer is, why can't you be right and strong? Who's to say that they have to be bellicose, they have to blow up the airway, the thing that comes out of their mouth, and we sit back and we, gee, I don't know, it's, I don't want to get in the middle of all that, and it's just all too... That's what this book's about.
Place in the box any worries, anxieties, and concerns that you may have, right?
All right. Any level? Okay, let's read this. Let us hope that the horrors of evil no longer loiter on the doorsteps of your path, beckoning you into the brothel of despair, and that hereinafter you may present them with the most rigid manifestations of a firm and manly will. Ad astra per aspera. Yeah, Jack Letter. Now I want to tell you That's very brilliant. Always doing. In fact, it was a great influence on me. But I want to put mine, my poem to Jack. This is the ode from Jack Kerouac, who was, and remains one of my heroes. How about this? This is called, let's see, maybe Ode to Jack. Yeah, Ode to Jack. All right. Four dogs went to the wilderness. Only three came back. Two dogs died from guinea worm. The other died from you, Jack Kerouac. Well, Jack was not innocent. He ran over dogs. Just think of it, man. Never mind. Okay, well, that's enough for now. And, thank you very much. And, yeah, well, Jack was an artist in every way. I admire the dog thing most of all.
Or at least no order was given to scramble these planes when everybody, you know, knew that they were off course wildly all at the same time. You're looking at a very well-tested and sophisticated structure that involves civil aviation people, FAA, military, NORAD, all kinds of people who drill and test and, you know, run all kinds of games to make sure that this doesn't happen.
Okay. Can you roller skate? Are you good athletically? I hate to ask you that, but that does.
No, but I could probably get good enough.
Right.
I haven't really roller skated ever.
Well, you have an athletic build, so I think you can do this. But anyway, I'm going to Sundance, and after that, I'll give you a call when I get back into town. And I'll have my assistant set up something so we can talk about this maybe lunch.
I'm leaving for Vancouver this coming Saturday, and I will not be back until May.
May? Well, what are you doing?
I'm doing the sequel to Stakeout.
Oh, to Stakeout. Is Emilio doing it?
Yeah, Emilio's doing it. John Adams directing it.
That's fantastic. Congratulations. The first one was... I love the first one. It's great. So, all right, definitely. I'll tell you what. You know what? As a matter of fact, I'm flying back east in about a month and a half. Oh, I'm trying to fit. Let me look at my schedule here.
Maybe you can come up and see me.
Yeah, you know, what the hell?
I'm toasting my favorite new perfume. Success.
Not the autocracy of a single stubborn melody on the one hand, nor the anarchy of unchecked noise on the other. No, a delicate balance between the two.
After one drill had pulled a substantial portion of U.S. Fighter aircraft north to northern Canada and Alaska, leaving only 8 scramble-ready fighters available in all of the continental U.S. when they had 22 possible hijacks. They were paralyzed by not knowing where to go. And I have locked this down, and this is a part of a book that I have coming out this summer on 9/11. This was a deliberate effort to paralyze fighter response.
Chloe looks hotter every single time she comes out.
I'm losing the clothes, guys. By the time I get down here at the end, I'll be completely butt naked. Well, I know I'm excited about the next award, because this award is, it's a pretty big one. It's Starlet of the Year. Tradition at the Avian Award Show is that the starlet who won last year comes back on stage and presents the award to the new starlet. And the starlet last year was none other than Violet Blue.
And now, please welcome your host for tonight's show.
Let me look at my book here. All right, yeah, take down my number. Okay. The office is 212.
We're talking about secrecy earlier, and my observation is first that there really aren't any secrets left in masonry. If somebody really wanted to know all the things that we...
stigmatized for your Masonic affiliations?
Only in some of the mail I get at the website, not in person. I guess maybe I don't travel in the right circles to get friction for it. But since I have the website, I would say I get hundreds of letters a month, and certainly at least maybe two or three of them are well-reasoned letters from people who have deep, correct reasoning, but reasons they don't like masonry, and then two or three more are what anyone would agree would be the crackpot, the people who think that masonry and Satanism and the one world order and half a dozen other things and UFOs are all
fine. Yeah, you know, it's possible, but where I would have to start is, again, show me the evidence, please, that we know that those 19 hijackers that are purported to have been on those planes were actually on those planes, that these guys were really Arab hijackers, that they were sent by bin Laden. Let's see the concrete kind of crime scene investigation evidence that you would do in any case of murder.
Here's your host, Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
He just won a trip to Bermuda on a carton of Coke, which none of us are going to drink, but at least you can win it.
I cannot move the mountain now. I can no longer run. I cannot be who I was then. In a way, I never was.
Watch the clouds go sailing. Watch the clock and sun. Oh, I watch myself depending on
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio, and our thoughts this evening, before we start, of course, are with our friend Roseanne Cash, whose father, Johnny Cash, passed on this past week. He's still around, Roseanne. I know you well know that. Well, you know, by the way, we greatly enjoyed being at the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra's opening gala and spending a little time with Senator Barbara Mikulski, Congressman Ben Cardin, Peter Angelos, and Nick and Mary Mangione. We had just a wonderful time, not just with them, but everybody else. In the nearly 16 years of 21st Century Radio's existence, we have reviewed scores of works that support the thesis that history is cyclical, that civilizations rise and fall, leading to the probability that some ancient civilizations actually knew a hell of a lot more than we thought they did. Vested interests in academia are slowly accepting that ancient civilizations in North and South America are far older than previously suspected, especially recent discoveries in South America indicating that those in Peru and Ecuador may be 30,000 years old or older. Long ago, we began this series of interviews with our dear friend Dr. Barry Fell, who is no longer in his physical body. Also, our other good friend Dr. Cyrus Gort.
An enlightened freedom, the science of my art, the art of my science. The harmony of the stars in the heavens, the yearning for brotherhood in the heart of man.
Well, I may be wrong, but that's my goddamn job. I'll make the fucking decision here. Okay.
This is the secret of my music.
And it was Gould who got that, right?
Yes. Right.
Ground control. Bird one complete.
Eating. Doug Stanhope.
And this this quote from Bach, this is Bach in his thinking. He was just centuries ahead of his time. This is something, you know, the eternal quality of his music. This quote was presented at an international musicians conference by the Baha'i Faith, a member of the Universal House of Justice from Haifa, Israel. And it goes along with the same, you know, principle, the unity of mankind.
There is a sense with Gould's best Bach performances that he begins emotionally and, if you like, spiritually on a level where other people break off. I mean, right from the very start.
I'll make a fucking decision. Keep your fucking mouth shut. I told you. You talk about it in my fucking office.
You know what's saying?
I'm just saying, talk about it inside. This is not the first thing you're talking about. Okay?
I think of them as the people with the aluminum foil hats.
Gary, thanks. David,
if I could interject just for a moment,
huh? How do we know that? They were flying with fake passports, then how do you know their real names?
Forming in our minds their view of reality. To think for yourself, you must question authority and learn how to put yourself in a state of vulnerable, open-mindedness, chaotic, confused, vulnerability to inform yourself. Think for yourself. Question authority. Operate for yourself. Question authority. Then came Marsha McLuhan in the 1950s. McLuhan said, in the Socratic sense, the medium is the message.
Right.
The words you use.
It's fucking great for you to be standing out here talking to me like that.
The words you use determine the realities you inhabit. Most of our lives, most of us live in realities determined by others, imprinted in our brains, by education, by religion, by politics, by the authorities. McLuhan said, if you want to change your mind, change the medium, change the words you use, change the mode of communication. If you change the medium, you change yourself, you change your society. Thank you.
60s, a new mode of communication developed, television. The kids growing up in the 1950s learned how to tune in, turn on, fine tune, turn off, select, determine what hits your eyeballs. You control your eyeballs and your eardrums. You direct and manage the media that program your brain. McLuhan said, who controls the media is programming your mind and programming your brain.
If you think you watch a lot of television, listen to this.
Fifty percent off.
I don't give a shit, Doug. I'm the fucking manager of the fucking team. I got to make the fucking decision.
And
so there's the.
Airport video camera footage on these people? Are you relying on the fact that somebody had a Koran in a hotel room in Boston? Where is that evidence? I believe that ultimately this whole thing was an operation that had nothing to do with the fire.
One good reason why. First of all, to answer your first question, I have uncovered statements from NORAD and FAA officials indicating that at least two other hijackings were stopped that day or prevented. We don't know the relationship. But looking at it from several standpoints, it's absolutely impossible to conceive that a group of 19 Muslim fundamentalists could have executed an event like 9/11.
Upset about the reasons for why they became members of Freemasonry. I just want to point out, where in American society today do you find organizations with real bonds of real connection and emotional intimacy among men? We had the Robert Bly.
2? I'm sorry. 213-202. Call me at home. 213-4. 213-45. Yeah. And, give me a call. When you, in a couple of weeks, give me a call after you read the script. Give me a call, and I'd like to definitely hook up there in Vancouver. And I think you're perfect for this. It's the part is you.
I'll read it as soon as you get it.
Fantastic, Dan. I'm sorry to bother you.
No problem.
And I'll speak to you soon.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Some channel in which you would like to express yourself, but you hang back feeling that I can't.
In Russian, K and G are about the same. Gorbachev, I'm going to say this slowly, is actually a German from Korbach, Germany. K-O-R-B-A-C-H. So if you're wondering why the American authorities did so much to hush up a German investigation in...
Welcome back. How are you, folks? How about that Sunset Thomas? Did anyone catch Sunset Thomas on that HBO special up at the Moonlight Bunny Ranch saying, fuck you, $20,000 a week? Was that not beautiful?
Sugare Morobamo Bhage Bege Polanti Dakshamage
আমর শুভ পশু যেতে মতে ভ্রমন্তি পরিতে ইমর গজ অশ্ব যেতে মতে চাহান্তি অশ্রু নেত্রে জমর দূত প্রায় আসি উলুকে মোর আগে বসি সবদে কম্পন্তি বেদিনী মোর চাহান্তে নহে তুনি আঙ্করাবে শূন্য মহি প্রজায়ে ন রহিবে কেহি দেখ এ ধূমদ সদিশে অন্ধার প্রায় তুলে বসুন্ধরী কম্পই ঘোর নাদ করি নির্মেঘে নির্ঘাত শুভই বিজুড়ি তেজ ঝটকই বায়ু বহই খরতর ধূলিরে দিগ অন্ধকার রুধির বরসন্তি মেঘে আমিষ গন্ধ সর্প জিগে সূর্যর দেহে নাহি তেজ দেখ আকাশে গ্রহ যুঝ দিগে দিশন্তি ভূত গণে জন্মে পুরিত অগ্নি বাণে শুভিত দিশে নদী নত করন্তি সিন্ধু প্রায় নাদ অনল ধারে কাল কি প্রবেশ সংসারে
When I reach the count of 20, you will be in normal, natural, restful sleep.
And every time that you mark my word, you look what happened. In 1988, we went squishing. And they kicked Dukakis up one side down the other. They had him responsible for every thug, murder, rapist, anything you could find in the country. And in 92, we said, no, we're not going to take that anymore. Oh, the war room and the negativity and the fight hitting back. Now it's all terrible. Go to hell. We're going to fight back. Then in 94, we went squishy. We got killed. Then in 98, they started this impeachment stupidity. They hijacked the federal courts and the federal prosecutors, spent $70 million and we didn't take it. Yeah, with our name, we called them some names. We fought back like animals. You know what? We beat them back. Made fools of them. Made fools of all of them.
Give me a minute.
You know why?
Jello.
Dude, it's been, it was...
No, it was...
Jello.
Like a Jello.
Close.
Dude, it's been, it was... I couldn't believe it.
It's the same thing.
No, but,
It's Goyo,
food wheel, whatever it is.
Ooh, pay attention. Bro, no, you get, a, you get two choices.
Is it Goyo?
You get, listen, pay attention.
Goyo. Gay guy off Goyo.
Did you see that guy?
And then they did the hamburgers. I was getting sick fucking watching the guys.
I eat five of them, and I'm like...
Where we belong. And there's a lot of really interesting things in there if you dissect it.
Also, I think the fact that the man is wearing a feather headdress and has a face of a clock.
There's just this absolute intensity. Glenn Gould would definitely agree with a great deal of what Bach said. He was interested not, I think the word was something like the tyranny of the single melody. With Bach and with the contrapuntal music that Gould loved so much, he loved the idea of many different voices going all at once and all adding up to a whole. And I think it's one of the amazing things about Gould's pianism is the fact that it really feels like this is a person with 10 completely distinct fingers that are live their own independent little lives.
Pay attention.
And I'll make them to the fucking best of my ability. It may be the fucking wrong decision, but I'll make it. Don't worry about it. I'll make the fucking decision.
Especially when a multitude of pilots have examined the maneuvers of the aircraft abroad and said a professional airline pilot with thousands of hours of experience could not have performed those kinds of maneuvers.
Mount Portchester.
And the way he manages to keep so many voices going at once is much more than just a sleight of hand. It's really close to miraculous.
Audiographic overload, attempting to create a state of open-mindedness, pleasant vulnerability, in which we will inform and imprint the messages of the sponsor. Use your head. Learn how to operate your brain.
My brother went to Bettelheim School from 1943 until 1948.
To operate your brain,
to
understand how to use your eyes. Oh, say, can you see?
Put the whole subject
oh, say, can't you see what's being done to your eyes?
In a mausoleum.
Who controls your eyeballs? Controls your mind.
So in 1969,
imprints
going to Chicago,
your brain. Oh, say, can't you see that the messages that hit your eyeballs in modern television are creating realities, imprinting messages from the sponsors
who are not usually
interested in your learning how to design your own
realities. She rejected him, and she was responsible for all the students' troubles. But then he said categorically, you know, your brother committed suicide. Now, the facts are that I was in the barn playing in the hayloft.
We received messages from their spaceships.
Warning.
For a while, it came in as just a lot of jumbled noise.
And now, sir?
Well, since they first tried contact with us by radio, we've developed a language computer, a machine that breaks down any language to our own.
What's this all got to do with me?
I think it's about time you heard these recordings.
Secret language.
Minutes at a time, so I've actually kind of been listening to every other 5 minutes of the show.
Thank you.
I'm a bigger fan of prostitution than even porn, ladies and gentlemen.
Service. Look, port side. There she blows.
Put your back into it, O'Neill. Let's get out of here.
Captain, the meteor. It's perfectly round.
Boy, you're right. That can't be a meteor, lad. That's it. Oh, my God. There's
help!
A man in a thing.
Please help me.
We're coming. Try to stay afloat. We're coming to you.
I gave you a fucking chance to walk out of here.
Steady. We're going to throw you a line. Can you catch it?
Yes, I think I can.
Here it comes.
And the reason I bring this up
is that our streaming or your reception?
Well, Lord knows how I'm going to figure that out at this point. And that was kind of one of the points I wanted to make, was that one of the things you gain from a solitary, wired kind of phone line was the idea that at least you can track down where the problem is, and that these phone companies built their monopolies or their reputation on solid reliability. I would have a hard time believing that I would be able to rely on internet phone service if I were faced with that same maze of companies and kind of flukiness. And the thing that made me think about it was earlier on, I guess, was making the distinction between a switched system and a routed system. Yes, a routed system is more...
One weekend in Michigan, and he slipped through a hole camouflaged by hay and fell 35 feet to his death.
Flexible, but it also may be more unstable.
This is when you call
the... He's accessing that information on a network that's kind of shared, and any number of stops along the way could be causing that trouble.
Now for Southern California Lifestyles, albeit a rather somber one today, with Bobby Dooley and her husband Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association, one of the more popular planned communities and gated communities in America. And Bobby, thank you for joining us on this sad day. Today was the day for Chandler Levy's memorial.
Yes, it was.
And tell me about your day, because I know you went up to the memorial.
Well, Phil, that's why it's a little bit uncomfortable. It was very important for us to go to the Chandler Levy Memorial.
Did you know her?
Did we know her personally?
Yeah.
No, but we got a group of people together from the Western States Homeowners Association. I don't know that your question is...
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, you wanted to go to the Chandler Levy Memorial. Why?
Well, we wanted to go because we felt it was important for all of us to have closure. We've all needed closure, and we decided to put some people together and drive up to the Chandler Levy Memorial in Modesto for closure. We went with our Women's League Club from Western States because we wanted to sing a special song.
What song?
We wanted to sing Candle in the Wind. And it was a different arrangement for us. Goodbye, Chandra Levy. No, we never knew you. And it was just very nice. And we went to the memorial because we thought we needed closure. And we also felt that it would be very important to be there.
How is prostitution illegal? How is it that it is perfectly socially acceptable for a guy to sit in a dance club and bullshit chicks all night till last call? He'll tell you any fucked up story he can think of just so he can poon you and never call you again, and that's socially acceptable. But a guy who just really needs a blowjob meets a girl who just really needs $40, you'd think...
Blaming the parents was Bettelheim's modus operandi, and if Stephen committed suicide by going home against his wishes, then he could blame the parents. It fully explains why my mother shut down this topic for the rest of her life.
Established history that
Dalai Lama, 12th son of the Lama, the flowing robes of grace, bald. Striking. So I'm on a first tee. What am I giving the driver? He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter, the Lama. Long. Into a 10,000 foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. Do you know what the Lama says?
No.
Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga Lagunga. So we finish 18, and he's gonna stiff me. And I
sorry,
say,
sorry, I forgot what you said.
Hey,
no, you're talking about something, you know. Oh, yeah, you can actually go like this.
And he says, oh, there won't be any money. When you die, on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going, which is nice.
I almost touch him.
Wow. Taste something. I already have. This is a man who smokes Marlboro cigarettes. What kind of a man is he? I get to working on it and forget where I am, what time it is. I even forget to eat. I always
Yes, you did. I know you, Raquel. You don't miss layups. You are pitying me.
I am not.
Yes, you are. You are pitying me, and I win.
Rip.
I'm an idiot. I don't know what to say. Spike would know. He's chatting them into bed and I can't even chat hello. They should have correspondence courses. Teach yourself to chat. Dear unknown teacher, what I really want to get myself started is to be seduced by an older woman, like in Somerset Maugham. Young, sensitive, attractive boy is introduced to sex by a beautiful, mature woman of 28.
If you would like to press 1, press 1. However, if you would like to press 2, press 2. If you'd rather press 3, press 3. If you would like to press 4,
call from Boston just reminds me of a breakthrough moment. For me, as a radio and talk radio practitioner, I was broadcasting in Jamaica, and a man came on the phone, called in, said, "Welcome to Jamaica, man." And I said, "Where are you calling from?" He said, "I'm calling from your town, New York." Called in free on a 1-800 line. He listened on the web in Brooklyn, and he reminded me there are 500,000 Jamaicans living in Brooklyn, and a lot of them listen to Jamaican radio. But I suddenly thought, this is a kind of breakthrough moment. Here's an intersection of broadcast going out, internet, phones coming back. We can talk to anybody now. We can have the whole world on a talk show.
Why
Copper's working on that.
Producing high-performance stream computing solutions for today's image and signal processing challenges. Producing high-performance stream computing solutions for today's image and signal processing challenges.
Producing high-performance stream computing solutions for today's image and signal processing challenges. High-performance stream computing solutions for today's image and signal processing challenges.
Sunset. There was still the last shimmer in the sky. I would walk out to one of those lakes and watch those ducks and geese just fly around peacefully or sitting on the water. And I felt that I was almost part of that country, part of that peaceful surrounding. And I wished that it would never end.
Are we right to open
the mass media, which is
the real truth for me as a nurse, because of the fact that whenever I
but where they do the first white man, far north supreme,
I think people tend to go for the more
friendly
kind.
The world,
metaphysics. Keep her rolling. I mean, everything's based on scarcity. This man's economy. Here in the 1984 Matrix, animal form of the sensorium. Mountain Radio also over there. Higher audio quality over here, however. 3W is thenewmetaphysics.com. Write your congressman. Remember, things will get as convolutedly absurd as they have to until you realize metaphysics is the only way out. The only way in and the only game in town. The only thing that can explain it, the only thing that could have allowed it, only way to do anything about it. Of course, for most people, they're just passing through. We must be kind to them. course, for them, could be anything. I can only see what's for me.
I'll never forget it. It was the night of that terrible thunderstorm, remember, George?
And there are so many possible probabilities.
It was then that I realized.
On the head of a pin.
I spent the rest of my life with him.
Yesterday, it's a different fucking story. I don't give a shit. You got three left-hand hitters, and they all got fucking hits on you. Rivers, Jackson, and the fucking other guy.
I suddenly thought, this is a kind of breakthrough moment. Here's an intersection of broadcast going out, internet phones coming back.
I guess lately we've been seeing the breakdown of the basal substrate of the institutions of society, of civilization. The outer, more tertiary levels of these institutions have already gone rent asundered quite numbers of months and years ago. Now we're down to the basic template, if you will. Of course, you know, we can't get there from here anyway, so not really quite sure why we are here at all, except to get there. Which, if I didn't do what I said I shouldn't do, I wouldn't have gotten into trouble in the first place. But perhaps it's a trouble I needed to get into in the first place. I think perhaps yes, there. Though I don't know why, except philosophically it does make sense to appropriate that philosophical conundrum for one's own good. The one foot in, one foot out problem. Salesmen use it all the time. They intimate they're in one subsystem, and while the other person is relating to them there, they play flanking maneuver from another subsystem and then reverse them back and forth for defensive reasons, especially if confronted frontally. But in this case, since the only way to know a system is to be outside it and inside it alternately or even concurrently, perhaps the only way to get to a system at all is to also be in another system. Time and space being what they are and all, of course. And since we're doing a little God problem here as divinity. We're in imitating God, becoming more of God. We deal with God-like constituents, which a real bugger. The concept of concepts. Basic tautology, 0 = 0. The only real tautology worth telling about. Anybody can do 1 = 1. We don't want to get lost in the numbers game. The roadmap to materialism. No, no. 0 is a real man's number. And it equals 0. Which could be a real female's number. So we had to get into the 1984 Matrix to jump off from, I suppose. So I can only speak for myself.
We can talk to anybody now. We can have the whole world on a talk show.
So we're getting there. Very happening years right now. A lot of black curtain work. The body politic is getting closer to passing through the threshold of various beliefs. If free energy is a little too far away, legalizing hemp is much easier. And with these oil boys on the make, jutting out ahead of the New World Order on their own, could help roll ideas of legalized hemp. The most miraculous non-human entity on planet Earth, after cereal grains, of course, that nobody knows about. Now, why is that? Well, I've got to go. I got to go do nothing somewhere else.
Started drinking. How are you guys doing? It's getting close to the end here. Hey, cheers. Thank you very much. I know. Fuck it. What am I going to screw up at this point? The fashionistas, let me say, they sent over a bunch of porn for me to study before I got this gig so I'd be up on it. And the fashionistas is, I think, the first porn I watched without fast forward. And that should get an award right there. Thank you. Fuck, that was... Because that's the first thing you learn. The key to jacking off to pornography, you have to fast forward through the piece of pornography you're viewing, find the part you want to dump your load to, and then rewind an appropriate amount of time. You know how long it's going to take you, roughly. But you can't just chuck in a tape and start jacking off all higgledy-piggledy, because what will happen, as soon as you start to come, they'll show a close-up of a big, ugly, maxed hardcore staring right in the fucking camera. Blow it while you're blown a load. It could ruin you sexually for years. Ladies and gentlemen, I was watching possibly the finest piece of pornography that I have ever seen in my life a few days ago. Well written, well directed, good quality porn.
Everybody,
playing back for a while. I'd hate to play him into the second inning with a fucking left-hander. You know? I'd rather play him back. I'm playing him back, yeah. I can't give him two more this fucking early. Let him back.
Oh, they've gone. Where are you, sir?
Upstairs in
bed. Good night.
Good evening, son. We have fresh visitors there.
Dr. Long Dongle. You're home early tonight, sir.
Yes, Gran. I watched her dance again tonight. Oh, how she danced. She danced like pots before the eyes.
He's talking about Senorita La Tigernutter. Every night he goes to the Cafe Filthmuck to watch her dance.
We can start with the slide.
3 years ago.
If you like. And let's turn off the light.
A day you can give me 50 pairs of castanets.
This is the main building. Where well, the patient first enters. Now, parents, do not go beyond the door. Don't get the long hand of the parents, which in many
you
cases
only want two more pairs,
the cause
buddy?
Of the disturbance.
Buddy, just
cannot
two.
Include
I nearly got
on the
tonight.
New life
just
that
there.
The children try to create for themselves. Next, please. And there is a figure called the lady. It's a
like we were weaned on. None of this commercial fluff that they throw at the youngsters nowadays. And I get all wrapped up in the plot. Like you do. And I ran out of tokens.
I was the tail end of that generation of
so now I'll never know
that
how
was
it ends.
Just the
producer ever give her the part?
But still, I
know.
Got it. I might get within a school that subscribed to that. My son Shen was born in 1975. I was practically a child bride. And he was 5 months old.
We can talk to anybody now. We can have the whole world on a talk show.
And the good news is he doesn't have a problem.
I'm actually working on the future of emergency services.
Right.
I also happen to be an EMT and a member of the Church and Rescue Team. Looking pretty close to this. The first thing is, if you buy a cell phone, be aware that when you call 911, depending on the region, they will have much less information about where you are compared to the landline. Here in California, for example, 911 on a cell phone goes to the highway patrol, and you may wait as long as 5 minutes for an answer. Cell phones go down in emergency situations because of traffic overload and like. But this is a case where there's going to be some interesting changes. Everybody's familiar with walkie-talkies and the current generation of family radios that you can go buy. Imagine a successor to that where every little radio you buy is also a node on a network, that it is passing messages for other people even when it's sitting in your pocket not being used by you. So today if you have a family radio and you're on one side of the shopping mall and your child is way on the other side, you probably won't be able to talk.
Über 13 Jahre hat das Schicksal den Machthabern des Novemberstaates zu ihrer Erprobung und Bewährung zugemessen. Das schärfste Urteil sprechen sie sich aber, indem sie durch die Art ihrer heutigen Propaganda das Versagen ihrer Leistungen selbst bekennen. Sie wollten einst Deutschland für die Zukunft besser regieren und können als Ergebnis ihrer Regierungskunst in Wirklichkeit nur feststellen, dass Deutschland noch immer leben. Wir haben in den November 18 feierlich versprochen, unser Volk und insbesondere den deutschen Arbeiter einer besseren wirtschaftlichen Zukunft entgegenzuführen. Sie können heute, nachdem Sie nahezu 14 Jahre Zeit zur Erfüllung ihres Versprechens hatten, nicht einen einzigen deutschen Berufsstand als Zeugen für die Güte ihres Tuns anführen.
Der deutsche Bauer bei This is what the liberal view of human nature has brought us to, the idea that men are naturally rational, moral creatures without the need for strong external restraints has been exploded by experience. There is an eager and growing market for depravity and profitable industries devoted to supplying it.
Das Schlimmste aber ist die Vernichtung des Vertrauens in unserem Volk, die Beseitigung aller Hoffnungen und aller Zuversicht. 13 Jahren ist es ihnen nicht gelungen, die in unserem Volk schlummernden Kräfte irgendwie zu mobilisieren.
The number you call is wrong. Please call information.
Despite evidence that began to accumulate in the mid-60s.
Im Gegenteil, in ihrer Angst vor den Erwachen der Nation haben sie die Menschen gegeneinander ausgespielt. Die Stadt gegen das Land, den Angestellten gegen den Beamten, den Handarbeiter gegen den Arbeiter der Stirne, den
listen to the radio.
Prefers the voices in his head.
Please check the number and dial again.
Couple that you're talking about.
We're sorry, your international call cannot be completed at that time.
Boston is a very conservative Irish Catholic area.
Decorated by another. Outside one of the windows, Africanus Scipio was combing his horse. I accused him of being dead. He apologized, promising to leave at cockcrow. I opened one of the many doors and went out. I crushed a cigarette on the hem of Pan. An intelligence clarioned its rays, sign that God was up and about. Picked up the lyre of reality and plucked a twang, and this song sang, die on me, as the river flows into the sea, floats on down bodies and trees. The sea cleans all the catastrophes. Die on me, die on me. All my friends and all unknown to me. For when I die on you, you need wonder my ability. I can't say will spirits meet, how long we'll sleep. Can't swear we'll leave our winding sheets. Yet if awake, I swear we'll hug and weep. Even with all its wars, the horror, people did wonders with life. Children are thrilled by harmless terror. Feeling good comes after strife. Die on me, I die on you. If you loved one, show it true. Get all around and pile on me. Protect me from what death's gonna do. Pile on me, I die on you. Pray I have a heap of love atop me. Yet I fear sparsity. That, I knew it. Nobody loves me. He was only using me for human run. I don't know what he wants. He's asking for something. Die, really bad thing to ask for. He's too aware he's gonna die. This is more than poesy and rap sing-songy. He sure isn't a disciplinarian of the word, that's for sure. I think that's lovely.
Unnameable diseases.
Main entry, doppelpunkt code. Function, doppelpunkt, noun. Etymology, doppelpunkt. Codex, trunk of a tree. Document, form originally from wooden, doppelpunkt. Date, doppelpunkt, doppelpunkt, doppelpunkt. One, doppelpunkt. Systematic.
Here we go, squishy again. I got this. We lost an election on the Department of Homeland Security, which was Joe Lieberman's idea, the last Democratic vice presidential nominee. We got it in here as a favor, because it's unbelievable.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Black Hawk Radio number 135. It is August 7th, 2003. And here in the studio, you have Len O'Sanic and Anita Langley. And we are joined today by our guest, Joe Pietri.
Thank you.
Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Well, perhaps we could get started by getting a little bit of personal background on you, and maybe you could tell us how it is that you came to be writing a book, King of Nepal.
I'm basically a retired smuggler today. I wanted people to remember how it was before the DEA, when you could take a hippie bus from London to Kathmandu for 100 English pounds and smoke great hash all the way, and the minute that you said you were an American, people would love you and invite you into their homes.
www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www.www
don't think about Amsterdam today, but Nepal was really the last place where marijuana and hashish were totally legal.
Who was passed on to other worlds, so to speak.
But we have some specific things that we talk about that progressives and Democrats can do. Our first thing, our first rule is stop apologizing for everything. Every time I see some Democrat on TV, they apologize. Oh, gee, maybe we were wrong about that. I don't know. We didn't. You know? You're a member of a party that beat the Depression, won two world wars, cut elderly poverty by two-thirds, and is responsible for the greatest period of economic growth since World War II. Democrats wake up and start looking for somebody to apologize to. Stop it. You got nothing to apologize for. The second thing, quit conceding the other side has a point. I thought, we go out of our way. Oh, you know, certainly you got a point there. No. I taught school for a little while, and guess what? There's such a thing as a stupid question. The same goes for opinions. Not everyone has a valid point. The next time some right-wing nut tells you the Bush plan gives the poor an incentive to get rich, don't say, well, you got a point. They don't have a point. What they're saying is stupid. Sometimes a mind is like a mouth. You just got to shut it. Here we talk about thinking big and being positive and et cetera, et cetera. And one of the things we talk about is how Democrats get paralyzed by what some editorial writer is going to say. Oh, my God. Some column. And, oh, my God. So we said that I believe that 180 days before an election, candidates should be required to stay away from cocktail parties, dinner parties, or any social event that occurs in the following areas. Georgetown, Foxhall, Spring Valley, Bethesda, Old Town, Alexandria, McLean, and Chevy Chase. One of the reasons Tom DeLay is so successful, he doesn't give a damn what any of the people in these neighborhoods think. Democrats tend to become completely paralyzed by it. I can't tell you the number of times at a Democratic meeting where someone says to me that such and such was at so-and-so's dinner party and the deputy assistant to the associate editorial editor of the Washington Post rolled her eyes. Everybody freaks out.
You know, it's so...
Let me tell you.
Beautiful.
If we go into this thing with the mindset that we're going to get rolled...
It's like the 4th of July.
And we're going to get rolled. If we go into this thing with the mindset that
it's
these
like
reporters
tree.
Have and these people on television have, that, oh, you can't. You're not
it's like fire.
These people, they have $260 million. I guess they could have $260 million. There's soil pollution, mercury, arsenic, Iraqi reconstruction, 138 special interest tax breaks at the time that the United States is at war. When you have the chairman of the Senate Energy Commission committee...
And I wish I could describe this to you better.
...because he was giving them tax breaks.
But I can't talk very well right now. Because I've got this damn gas mask on. So I'm just going to stick this microphone out the window. See if we can't hear a little better. Hello, California. What's the weather like out there now? And I only have one question. Did you ever really love me? Only when we danced. And it was so beautiful. It was like the 4th of July. was like fireflies on a summer night.
And I think most recently we've interviewed Maurice Cotterell and his Lost Tomb of Viracocha and his Unlocking the Secrets of the Peruvian Pyramids. And just last week, Michael Langevin joined us to review his Secrets of the Ancient Incas, a modern approach to ancient ritual and practice. Within Langevin's book, we learned about the first language in Peru called Quipu, a cord of knots to count their herds. Very interesting theory, and not a theory, very interesting situation indeed. As we will learn this evening, knots and labyrinths are intricately entwined. Now, the last book we reviewed on labyrinths was Herman Buzkern's Through the Labyrinth. That was some time ago, maybe about a year ago. Now, this hour and part of next will be spent discussing Patrick Conte's The Genesis and Geometry of the Labyrinth. Patrick Conte is a painter who has been researching labyrinths for more than 30 years. He lives in France, and that's where we're speaking to him tonight. Obviously, we're not in France tonight, but he is at his home, I would imagine. Welcome to 21st Century Radio, Patrick.
But in a future where there are several hundred people who all happen to have bought the same kind of radio using the same standard, you will be able to talk because your message, voice message, will be passed from radio to radio. And
more than most other countries about this trade. Once these items leave our shores, it gets next to impossible to track where they go.
And in 1973, Richard Nixon and his newly formed DEA paid the King of Nepal $50 million to make marijuana and hashish illegal, and he created a criminal society. Hindu, they have to take marijuana. At least one time a year. So I got to see all the changes that happened in drug enforcement because I was on the other side. I was moving the marijuana. I was moving the cannabis.
I got to see the effects of American foreign drug policy in Nepal. Overnight, an ordinary thing became extraordinary. A huge black market for drugs was created. The price of hashish and marijuana went through the roof. 30 years ago, there was no such thing as a Nepalese heroin addict. If you go there today, they have 500,000. You know? It's really, really changed. This is the 30th year anniversary of the Drug Enforcement Agency.
We need those little steps to make sure we understand the thing.
Sure, it's not an easy book to read.
No, it's not. As far as I'm concerned, it's almost like a doctoral thesis.
Well, it's a sort of adventure, you know, of how to discover this, how I discovered the meaning of the labyrinth. It's like a detective work, or a sort of deciphering some secret language. And at the same time, through a personal approach, discovering the meaning of the labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, through art and through my spiritual practice and things like this. So it's seen from many sides, and sometimes it must be confusing for the reader. Because
swim for it now, it's just to your left. You've almost got it there. Hang on, we'll pull you in.
Give me a hand.
Nicer. Keen now. Heel. Heel.
It's going to be great fun for kids going to rock concerts, but also this is the sort of thing that already there are several companies that are designing these systems for use by emergency personnel, so when they arrive on scene, their radios automatically all start talking to each other, and the incident commander knows where everybody is, and everybody can be reached.
Welcome to the phone-in. Today we have on our panel our resident psychiatrist, a psychiatrist who isn't resident but is staying with the other one because he can't bear to go home, and a psychiatrist who has lived with the first one but who, when the second one arrived, felt alienated and since has undergone a total personality change. Our subject tonight is farming, and our first caller is from Reading.
Hello.
Hello, welcome to phone-in. What's your question to the panel?
Bruno.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello there, this is phone-in. What is your question?
Is Vic there?
Is Vic there? Is Vic there, Dr. Rogers?
Well, the problem here is a simple one. The caller wants to know if Vic is there. And in this case, Vic, as far as I
can
tell...
Can I jump in here, Alan?
Yes, of course.
I agree with what Rogers was going to say. As far as we can tell, Vic isn't here. The only thing she can do is to keep calling, and if Vic comes in, we'll let her know.
Does that answer your question?
Hello?
Hello?
Vic?
Good evening, sir. Welcome to phone in. What's your question?
It's Norman.
Hello, Norman. Welcome to the show. What's your question on farming?
Has he been round again?
Has he been round again? Professor Rogers.
Professor
Dibbs?
I think we've proved that Vic isn't here.
Bloody kill him.
And therefore, he couldn't have come round again. It's a fairly simple case of non-presence.
Thank you, Norman. I hope that answers your question.
I'll go round there and kill him. Is he down the pub?
I'm sorry, Norman. Only one question per caller. And now we move on to our next caller, please, on farming.
Hello. My name is Mummy Badger.
Get on with the question.
Yes, I farm over 4,000 acres, and I'd like to know the panel's attitude to the viability of cereal production in the EEC.
I'm sorry, we only want questions about farming. Next caller, please. Hello, it's Mr. Gannett from Dorchester, isn't it?
No, he's dead.
Oh, dear.
But he left me his question in his will.
Oh, dear. Well, how sad, but let's hear the question.
Unfortunately, one of the conditions of the will is that I myself should not reveal the question.
Oh, dear. Well, can someone else reveal it?
Yes, he left provision.
I'm sorry, we're running out of time.
Yes, he left provision in the will that his wife should be able to reveal the question in certain circumstances.
Is she there?
Yes.
Well, perhaps she could read the question on farming, please. Well, is she well enough to read the question?
No, I wouldn't think so.
Well, is there anyone there who can read the late Mr. Gannett's question?
Only if the executors of the will were to agree on a revocation of the clause by applying for a codicil.
Well, I'm afraid we must leave that question there.
It could be rushed through in about 2 months.
Well, I'm afraid, I'm sorry, that's all we've got time for.
Body such that a pregnancy will be terminated. Of agents that are going to participate at different levels. It just can't be done from that source.
Well,
You've got to have tremendous cover story to spread the lies about what really happened.
There you are.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
God. Are you all right, sir?
Yes. Yes, you must take my ship in tow.
What ship?
Why, my spaceship, of course. Yes, my spaceship.
If you do ship something to Bangladesh, if you do ship something to Morocco or Thailand, we may have assurances about who it's supposed to be reaching in those countries. We have no idea what actually happens to that technology once it leaves the U.S.
You have people that are basically hungry, starving, immune suppressed, drinking contaminated water.
The geometries sometimes a bit difficult, although it's simple. Simple, but you have to follow, you know, you have to work a little bit.
Yeah, you have to go step by step, but you
do. Yeah,
that's
it.
And you provide that step by step with your, I think you must have around 300,000 illustrations in this book. That's a little of exaggeration there, Patrick. But the labyrinths, tell us, what are they? A lot of people confuse them with mazes, M-A-Z-E-S. Tell us what a labyrinth is and how it's different from the maze.
Well, yeah, well, we could go through that. What is a labyrinth first, I think, maybe, huh?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what's interesting, because so many people, when I was in America, a lot of people were interested in labyrinths. Everybody has an idea, and what is it? It's puzzling first because it's like a church without a roof. It's like completely in nature, and at the same time it has the same feeling that a church, but there's nothing that keeps it in. it's completely open, and yet there's no shaman or priest that leads you in. It's only you.
Land has been stolen so they can't grow food.
And, you know, from the minute that they created the DEA, their whole agenda was compromised by the CIA and their own agendas.
Secret language.
Warning, warning. Who controls your screens? Controls, programs your mind.
Breaking out that are rigged on both, you know, both sides and so forth. Now you bring in medical teams, World Health Organization, all these people. Oh, we're building a hospital, and the PR and the press and everybody trumpets it, and it's fantastic. We're getting drugs to these people. There are people inside the World Health Organization who very well know that the solution to disease in the third world is clean water, food, restore the land to grow crops, etc., etc., etc. That's the only thing that is going to work. When you give vaccines, especially when you give vaccines to people whose immune systems are already suppressed, you push those immune systems over the edge into disaster land.
It's entirely possible that equipment is resold, reused, and ends up in the hands of people who would never have been approved to receive it in the first place.
In contact with the world, and this pattern, it's a sort of dance that you do, and then you have the same feeling then entering into a sacred place, which usually is closed, right?
Right.
And that is the striking thing. Now, of course, there's an history, there's all kind of answers, and people used to get that, the path to, you know, to transformation, and it's the path towards truth or something. If, you know, in the Middle Ages, they used to call it the path to Jerusalem, which means paradise re-found. You know? It's also the answer according to Christian tradition of Paul on the way to Damascus. You know, like, where are you going? Who are you? Where are you going? Who are you? That is the question. You have to follow its path, and suddenly you have a shock that you discover. But we don't know what so people respond to that. But who is asking these questions? Who is very puzzling, because we are asking these hard questions. Why this pattern answered that? And until now, nobody really answered that. What is the pattern itself? What?
Look at that. Ah. Yes.
Yeah. That'll teach you a fucking lesson. Don't open doors to strangers, baby.
The only thing we really learn is when on occasion, and it's very rare, we hear back from people who were tortured, and they're able to say to us, as Phil Lomax, who's a British citizen detained in Saudi Arabia, said to us, you know, when I looked down at the cuffs that were holding us, they said, made in the USA.
Stranger, just a little further, Thoreau. You've been unconscious for quite a while. We've dried your clothes as best we can.
Thank you, Captain. I apologize for the inconvenience.
Nonsense. I apologize for the accommodations.
Oh, not to worry. After the ordeal I've been through, I cherish everything earthly.
Yes, well, we have your ship, your spaceship, as you call it, in tow, sir. I must say, I'm surprised she's even floating. To my inspection, she's a hollow sphere, full of seawater. Given that, she should be on the ocean floor, not trailing us into port.
Yes, well, I don't know what to tell you. I'm still a little addled.
Well, you might start by giving us your name.
Oh, certainly. My name is... My name is... I can't even seem to remember that either. My head is spinning.
Well, then, do you know where you're from?
Well, of course I know where I'm from. It's just slipped my mind.
What day is it?
Am I a calendar?
No, sir, you're not a calendar. But as to who you are, that is precisely what I want to determine. Otherwise, I shall have to turn you over to the authorities.
That won't be necessary.
Mind you, I don't like to deal with them myself. But you must admit, Mr. whatever your name is, fallen from the sky and such, it's rather unusual.
Forget the details. There's something more pressing than details.
What?
Never mind. Where am I?
You are aboard my fishing vessel, the Nepenthe, and as you can see, we are now docking in Hancock Harbor.
Could you throw me the line, Captain?
What time is it?
Near midnight.
What year?
1901.
1901. The beginning of the end.
Oh, not at all. Why, everybody's calling this the age of science.
Indeed.
But it's true. They're all saying that fantastic new inventions will change our lives. Scientists are the new explorers.
Little do they know.
Soon, we're going to be having electric torches and self-propelled carriages and machines that play music without instruments.
What about objects that fall from the sky, O'Neill?
Look, there's also submarine vessels and wireless communication.
Wireless? Where?
Windigee.
What's a Windigee?
We're in a department store in the Midwest, and your name is?
Mrs. Hanson.
Mrs. Hanson, you've been listening to this record here. What do you think of what you've heard so far?
I think it's funny. I think it's relevant. I think there's laughs for young and old alike.
And do you think it'll sell?
Oh, I think it'll sell very big. My family, I'm sure, would buy this.
How many in your family?
Well, I don't really have a family. That's just a figure of speech.
I see. I thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Back to the record.
Ich war mir der absurden Situation, in der ich mich befand, schon bewusst. Die Qualität des Spiels änderte sich natürlich auch durch das Wissen beider Parteien, was gespielt wurde. Aber mich reizte schon immer das Risiko, das Spiel mit dem Feuer. Vor allem das Urinaufnahmeprogramm nahm eine neue Dimension an. Immer, wenn er pissen musste, diente ich ihm als Toilette. Literweise schluckte ich seine Pisse über den ganzen Tag hinweg.
Fest in die Zähne, ja? Wie findest du das hier?
I thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Back to the record.
Don't hear that very often, but I think if you hear it once, it tells you that it's happening far more frequently than we should tolerate.
Have you found, I imagine, of course, you've found similar exports happening from other countries?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of other countries involved in this trade. Some of our European colleagues have big industries exporting this stuff. We've seen increasingly a shift to manufacture in Asia. Taiwan and China have really picked up over the last few years as producers, particularly of electroshock weaponry. And I should add, obviously, as far as we know, they have no export restrictions whatsoever. So while the U.S. isn't perfect, the U.S. is at least trying to run a process that restricts where this stuff goes, even if there are obviously some decisions that we would still question. But the trade is shifting to countries where it's really completely beyond any control.
This is a song from the 80s I like to do during the show.
99 settler followers, Flickin, Snargin, Flurgin, Gleegin, Liskin, Schneigin, Fleegin, Flurg, Blishin, Dargin, Colonel, Clinkin.
Alright, that sucked. I'm really sorry. But I really enjoyed touching your breast, ma'am, and if you don't mind, I'd like to touch the other one. Just because, well, you know, you gotta balance these things out. How about the side? Just the side. Okay, is this your dude? Is this your boyfriend? Okay, do me a favor. You touch it and I'll touch you. It'll be like electricity. Oh, that feels good. All right, thank you.
Fob it off on your underlings by having them form self-managed teams. That's an elegant way of saying they do your job in addition to their own. This is a bit like teaching the cows to milk themselves, but it's possible if they're flexible. The ultimate goal of all managers is to dupe the employees into doing to themselves the things that managers would normally do to them.
Death, maiming, all kinds of unnameable diseases and so forth.
And do you...
In tandem with our work, obviously, on the export of this equipment, we obviously continue to work on a number of countries that are high priorities for us, including Turkey. It has a sad, long history of torture.
And that is what has been happening for a very, very long time.
You'll need to give the employees a reason why they should do your work.
You know what I mean? when Nixon in 73 classified marijuana, he had a study made on marijuana, and I guess a Schaefer study, and it came back that marijuana was less harmful than aspirin, and that it led to eating, you know, cookie dough. You know,
In the third world, absolutely a tool of depopulation. In fact, you can find ample evidence of a specific vaccine that has been researched for some time at several centers in the United States, whose purpose is anti-fertility in women by introducing something called an anti-HCG factor that knocks out a reaction to the body such that a pregnancy will be terminated, a spontaneous abortion will occur. But in general, all vaccines have this effect on people's immune systems, and they are a depopulation tool at a very high level. Of course, 99.99% of the people who are delivering them think that they are doing good. It's not like a conspiracy where you need 50 million people on board. Unnameable.
But he still changed the classification from a third classification 3 to number 1, the same as heroin.
The pattern itself. And that is a problem of the geometry. What is the geometry? Like they say that it can look like an ear or like a intestine or something physical or maybe like the waves going back and forth in some of the drawing. But what is it? How do you transform an inner ear or the intestine into this pattern, which is very specific and mm-hmm. It's found all over the world from the most remote time? So that is the question there. That is, if you don't know what it is, what the thing is, all the explanation that you give of the meaning are a little bit, they're very subjective in that way. And actually, we find out that there's so many labyrinths or patterns related to the labyrinth that have completely different meanings. It's like in India, it represents the mind. It's a yantra that represents the mind. In other culture, it can represent the Buddhist path. In Kore, for example. So there is the question. When we say what it is, we have to answer that question. How do we build that thing? How was it? It's a very, very specific pattern. And we don't know how it, nobody came, and the mathematicians are very good, you know. Today they are able to find almost, they know so many different shapes. But this one, they never found the reason for it. So that is very puzzling.
Well, in a labyrinth, you don't get lost in a labyrinth. You go directly toward the center.
Well, many people who talked about the labyrinth mix it with a maze.
Right.
Which is a maze. Which the maze is, if you go to the story of Crete, or the Greek myth, the maze is the story of the myth. It's mm-hmm. a place where everybody gets lost and you cannot go back. And now, the labyrinth is exactly the opposite. You cannot get lost. There is only one path which leads you to enter.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have to find what would be the maze, what would be the labyrinth. same thing. Well, my answer after the finding this geometry and that comes from is that it's a very different answer that we talk there. I said that it's the transformation of a knot that represents the whole connection between all things, okay? And that then I had to find out in which myth you find the knot, and then you transform it through this simple, very simple geometry, which looks like a trick of magic. And suddenly this gives the pattern of the labyrinth. And that is almost miraculous. The first time I found it, I couldn't believe my eyes with this little elaborate analysis of the pattern of a knot.
We're going to take our first break this hour. When we return, we're going to take a look at some of the purposes, the various purposes that the labyrinth has had and their use for religious meditation. We're going to ask for about an example of labyrinth dealing with.
Got American troops dying in Iraq?
What you need is centuries of propaganda that this is disease prevention, when in fact it has nothing to do with that. With us, he's a genius inventor, but he altered the paradigm. He said, look, you know, I understand that everybody is living in this illusory world in which we all believe that there isn't enough of everything to go around, including energy. And what I'm trying to tell you is that not only do I have the inventions, but I can see from these inventions that that isn't the world that we really live in. And if you folks want to wake up here, we can do this another way, and it isn't going to be a 100-year project. And once we do it, everything is going to change. And then you're not going to be so worried about, am I making more than my neighbor next door, and is my car bigger, and all that kind of stuff. You're going to get down to what life is actually about.
All right, it's time for another kooky, crazy call.
Another kooky, crazy call is a copyrighted feature.
And this time, we're calling a pet store. I'm going to disguise my voice and attempt to purchase 10 parakeets. Let's see what happens.
Hello, House of Pets.
Yes, do you sell parakeets, there?
Yes, we do.
Excuse me, how many do you have?
I think we have 7 or 8 at the present time.
Well, I'm going to, need 10.
Well, we have another store in the area, and I'm sure we could get 2 more from them.
I see, in other words, you'd have to go to another store then, huh?
Yes, we would.
Okay, well, let me think about it, and I'll get back to you later.
All right, thank you.
We want you to take a break, and then we'll return to conclude the day. But it is also the night that can bring you more clearly, more fully, to your great work. To that round, to that great circle, your great work, to fulfill a destiny, ever changing, ever shifting, albeit to fulfill that destiny. It is your night that can bring you to the round of love, to the round of magic, to the round of your great work. And that veil was lifted, surprisingly so perhaps, not anticipating, expecting it, no time to defend against it, no time to have all your reasons, why not? It was lifted. And in a montage of chaos, of possibility, knights, ladies, castles, caves, forests. Oh, so quickly it came. It doesn't matter that the images were not clear, that they were not defined. But beyond the chaos, they became so. And you met, renewed or met, your knight, your lady. And we turn to you now to talk of such experience. As this expanding of power, the Merlin Arthur legacy. This is the night. This is the energy that can bring you to the alliance, that can bring you to that wholeness, to the wholeness of self. This is the energy that can activate these other energies that, wow, I wish I had more of that. Whatever it is will bring you to the realm. It can bring you to the love and the great circle of love. Bring you to your magic more fully, more richly. Work with it, understand it, but also act upon it. Also act upon it. What can happen is you can gain, not that any of you have done this, but you can gain a lot of information, but you need to act upon it. Not fully, not absolutely, but to begin, to set in motion, to act upon it. The lady also is there to help you. To help you find this energy within yourself, to define it, to direct it, to act upon it. Allow her to help. And in so doing, certainly so, you reach the heart. Much more the heart of legend. This is what the legend is about. Not romance stories of a queen who sleeps with Lancelot, who throws over the growing old husband for the hot young stud from France. See, Lancelot was added during the time of Eleanor of Aquitaine, who loved the legend of Arthur and Merlin. And so they wrote into it what would also please her, a bit of the romance novel, the bit of the infidelity, and the how dare she. Again, the woman screwed it all up. If it hadn't been for old Guinevere breaking Arthur's heart. No, that didn't happen. None of that happened in the legend, right and true. It's about finding yourself. It's about awakening. The courageous. The loyal. The virtuous. The authority, the service, the nobility in you. The humility, the graciousness. The truth, the courtesy, the honor, and the gallantry. To become whole, to become Arthur, 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 and magician. To awaken the current, to carry it forth, not singularly, but to carry it in the heart of legend. Why don't you take a break, and when you return, we'll talk a bit and then a meditation.
Collège de France, véritable laboratoire de son œuvre. Il s'agit des cours de 1976. Il faut défendre la société. Aujourd'hui, en introduction, un autoportrait qui datait de 1971.
Enseigné aux universités de Clermont-Ferrand puis de Tunis.
On a un point du corps dans ce milieu-là pour quelqu'un formé à l'intérieur.
milieu comme celui-là, la découverte d'une maladie qui ne se présente que dans l'ordre du langage, c'est déjà bizarre. Mais alors, quand on s'aperçoit que cette maladie qui ne se présente que dans l'ordre du langage est en même temps une maladie que l'on va guérir, non pas...
Set the stage by being inaccessible for meetings and unknowledgeable about what your employees do for a living.
Greed, sloth, gluttony, lust, pride, anger, or envy.
Is when you try to bring to some conclusion a feeling, a sense of a feeling that you have. You're trying to get rid of, not get rid of the feeling.
See, you don't even know what it means either.
Well, I know that it isn't closing something.
I know that it's closing a feeling.
And locking it.
Closing it and locking it.
Puritanical society. Every new media technology
goes through a pornography phase if it's ultimately going to be successful. In fact, the word pornography was invented because of what was happening with the printing press. What did we do after Gutenberg printed the Bible? We printed cheap thrillers, how-to books, and pornography. The Canterbury Tales was the most outlandish of medieval smut. It just doesn't have that impact on us today because we have to stop and look up the words. And then when movies were invented, the first movie special effect, literally, was the keyhole-shaped mask.
Pornography always sort of opens up the territory for something else.
Yeah, and the way I...
Will help people as this technology comes down the road because, you know, it's... No one knows what's going to happen, and it should give people some hope that if the phone companies and big governments can't keep their hands on it, then I think we'll be all right.
Your eyes are the windows of your brain. The eyes are extensions of your brain. The eyes are made up of hundreds of layers of neurons, rods, cones. Your eyeballs deal with one energy. It's light. Through your eyes come vision, perception, enlightenment, illumination. Your eyes are the windows of your soul. Who controls your eyeballs programs your brain. Learn how to dial, fine-tune your eyeballs. Learn how to unfocus your eyes, dilate your pupils. Learn how to open up to illumination and light, and then refocus and redesign your own linear order, your own designs, your own language.
So I'm going to talk to you about America in three indices, which would be, for me, politics and probably women, because I got divorced 5 years ago. I'm out there in the open market with liberated women. And assertive liberated women who are disappointed. You know about women being disappointed? This is the dinner conversation. I got through the menstrual periods, I got through pregnancy, I went through the change of life. Now when I'd like to exhale and relax, I have to work. I said, well, what do you think guys go through? They said, well, you have to shave. That's pretty much it. So, so it'll be politics, women and movies, because I told you I worked as a screenwriter. Movies are very important to people. For the older people, it's Turner Classic Movies and the AMC, you know, the AMC channel. You know, we're about to see Sun Valley Serenade with Glenn Miller, but actually Daryl Zanuck wanted Charlie Spivak, but he couldn't ice skate. Now this. So, and all right, ironically, as the movies got more meaningless, people intellectualized them more. When they made the old movies, you know, they made movies and they went home. But now you got Siskel and Ebert to tell you what it means, you know. Right? My video pick of the week is Popeye Gene. He's essentially an existentialist. He says, I am what I am and that's all I am. There's a turbulent relationship with an anorexic girl, I know.
And saying, you know, how do you feel about the war? And it was, you know, it was anti-war.
he's kind of saying that war's not a good thing, and these kids on the street are saying that they're against it. And the company rejected it.
By refusing that, is MTV taking a position on the war?
No, because they wouldn't air pro-war commercials either.
Right.
You know, with the exception of the Army. But
you do air Army spots?
We do air Army spots.
Okay.
And Navy.
You're watching MTV.
Make bad decisions or no decisions at all. In time, the employees will come to see you as a huge obstacle to progress. They will become more frustrated than a woodpecker in a petrified forest. They might even ask for permission to do your work. Then there's the one-on-one review. You can have some fun criticizing the employees during the one-on-one review session. Plan ahead. Make sure the performance review form includes a section where the employee can specify the training and development they think they need, i.e., their flaws. During the one-on-one session, quickly scan the development plan and zero in on the employee's self-assessed weaknesses like a dog digging for a soup bone. Conversation might go like this. You: I see your technical skills are inadequate. Employee: Actually, I'm a recognized expert in my field, but I like to keep up with emerging trends by taking classes. You: Then you admit there are things you need to know that you don't know. Employee: Well, yes. I mean, no. I wouldn't put it that way. You: Sounds to me like you have a communication problem, too. Employee: What the hell is going on here? You: Have you considered counseling? The company has a program. Make sure you get involved with creating strategies. Corporate strategy is defined as whatever you're already doing, plus all of the good stuff your competitors are doing. So if, for example, you're the low-cost leader, i.e., you make crap, and your competitor makes a high-quality premium brand, your strategy would be something like this. Make crap and charge a premium price for it. Some critics would say it's not a strategy at all unless it allows you to focus your resources in one logical direction. But what the critics fail to take into account is that strategies are things you talk about, not things you do. There's no reason to be restrictive. As a manager, you should talk about strategy every chance you get. It's easier than working, and it pays exactly the same. People look up to managers who talk about strategy, and why not? A manager who spends a day talking about strategy is a person who has found a way to get paid for doing almost nothing.
As one can lift and shift through thee to find the ledger, and in the heart of ledger to understand and to get to know Arthur, it is also confounded somewhat in your modern world with such as the Broadway play Camelot, and you know, one can hardly think of Arthur without thinking of Richard Burton. Such a presence and such a life he gave that, unfortunately, it is fortunate and unfortunate in the sense that Arthur was born under the guise of magic, not an immaculate conception either, but under the guise of magic, born a bastard child in the terms as they would be put, but the son of a king. But as part of the bargain, part of the price that Uther paid, he could not have the offspring of his foray, could not have the offspring of his momentary passion. Now, subsequently, indeed, as Uther broke his word and killed the Duke of Cornwall, or had him killed in this regard, and then married Igraine, forced her into marriage in that regard, he was king. But he could not have the fruits of his deception in this regard.
that became the ward, that became the bounty in the will of the magician of Merlin, who kept his word in that regard and quickly whisked away, even to the distress of Igraine, this child that was born. Took him into the countryside, into the simple land, into the wood, the forest, to be raised by, as the legend says, Sir Ector, who already had a wife and a son, Kay. And Arthur had befriended Ector in his day, and in his time had done many a wondrous feat and wondrous deed and fair and kind act. And so Sir Ector, indeed, without hesitation, though he was a man of very limited means, willingly accepted this child as though it were his own, to raise with his own son, as though they were brothers. And, in fact, Ector knew not of his origin, knew not that this was Uther's child, conceived under the protection of Dragon's breath, but an orphan's child that Merlin must have come across somewhere, and as a favour to his dear and wondrous friend, Sir Ector accepted the child as his own, and would raise this child in his infancy, and with his wife, and in this simple family of limited means. And as the boy, out of infancy, became a boy, so Merlin would come from time to time to be with this boy, to teach this boy, not to tell him that he was the great and wondrous Merlin, counsel to the king, but he was as a big brother, as a substitute father, for by that time he would have been, certainly, obviously, old enough to be his father. For remember now, Merlin, coming first to Vortigern as perhaps a teenage boy, 15, 16, and full of all kinds of hubris as well as brilliance, would become in that way counsel not only to Vortigern but to Uther, and by this time well into his manhood in that regard, certainly perhaps 20s and 30s, perhaps by the time that Arthur was born. So by the time Arthur, a 10-year-old boy, certainly Merlin already would seem to be an older man, older like his father, Ector. And he would come and play with the boy and be with the boy, take the boy for long walks, take the boy out into the woods, to teach him of nature, of plants and of animals, to teach him of the ways of the world, the ways of the elements. Not to teach him magic, but to teach him the qualities of chivalry. Chivalry is not just courtesy. Often is said in your world, when a man is courteous, ah, chivalry is not dead, as though it were the only quality of chivalry. And indeed, such phrases of someone having chivalry, well, it is a concept that is looked down with humour, and if not with humour, as being somehow fuddy-duddy, old-fashioned. And it is a sad statement that it is so, that such things as being courageous and loyal and virtuous, with authority and service and nobility, is fuddy-duddy and old-fashioned or somewhat silly or to be made jokes of, that having humility and grace as well as truth, courtesy and honour and bravery are seen as such. But because, see, this is what chivalry is. Not one of the qualities, but the whole of these qualities in action. And what Arthur would teach Merlin is not magic, but rather taught him the qualities of chivalry. Not to have chivalry, not to be chivalrous, but rather, in that same thing, to develop the qualities, giving him the capacity to become one of chivalry.
closure.
That's what our t-shirt said, Chandra Levy closure. We drove all the way to the Chandra Levy Memorial today. There weren't enough seats, and we had to turn around. And we're simply asking Gary Condit to pay for it, because if he hadn't been involved in this, then she wouldn't have been that famous. I wouldn't have known about her, and I wouldn't have cared.
Who didn't know anything about anything?
I want to hear a poem. I want to learn something I didn't know. I want to say yes at the end because I'm sick of saying so. I want to hear a poem about who you are and what you think and why you slam. Not a poem about me and my poem because I know who I am. I want to hear a love poem, a sad poem, and I hate my dad poem, a dream poem, and I'm not what I seem poem, and I need poem, and I also bleed poem, and I'm alone poem, and I can't find my home poem. I just want to hear a poem. I want to hear a poem about revolution, about fists raised high and hips twisting in a rumble like a Roomba. I want to follow the footsteps of Che and hear the truth about the day the CIA killed Lumumba. I want to hear a poem about struggle so that when I open my mouth I can step outside myself. I want to listen to no less than the sounds of protest in the factories where workers sweat and make Air Jordans and Pro Keds. Because if you want to take shots at people, target Phil Knight and Bill Gates, contemplate how they own the products and they got the goods, how they act like they care but they're just Robin Hoods. And because every second matters, I want to hear long poems and short poems about time and its limits, because it took less than 3 minutes to attack Abner Louima, to frame Assata Shakur and destroy Hiroshima, to kill Eleanor Bumpers and Anthony Baez, to gun down Malcolm with bullets they bought from the feds. I want to hear a poem where ideas kiss similes so deeply that metaphors get jealous. Where the subject matters so much that adjectives start holding pronoun rallies at City Hall. Because I want to hear a poem that attacks the status quo, that attracts the claps of the cats with the fattest flows, that makes the crowd pass the hat and pack my cap with a stack of dough. I want to hear a poem that makes this audience yell, ho! Because I want to guess your favorite color than craft rhyme schemes out of thin air. I want to hear a poem about why the statute of limitations for rape is only 5 years. I want to hear a poem. I want to feel a poem. I want to taste a poem. Give me your spot on the mic if you want to waste a poem. I want to hear a poem.
Well, as the hours unfolded.
Who? What? Why? I'm still wondering who, what, why. Still wondering who, what. What? What? Since nobody else bothers, those three questions. Osama bin Laden, an Arabian. I assumed it was the people that they say were the hijackers, who were mostly Arabians from Saudi Arabia. And why? I've been trying to work out ever since. And what? I've been trying to work out.
Say a certain common egomania played its part in the parallel.
I'm sure it did. But the fascinating, indeed to me the horrifying thing, was that after bracketing Beethoven and Fischer, Schomburg wrote a summating article for the Times, an intensely admiring article as far as Fischer was concerned, under the title Psychic Murder at the Chessboard.
Oh, but Glenn, surely this chap Schomburg was simply playing word games, right?
I don't think so, Harry. I grant you that some years ago I applied myself to a rather facetious article which analyzed Mr. Schomburg's critical prose style because I noticed that to an extraordinary extent adjectives normally associated with sports in general and pugilism in particular found their way into his descriptions of concert experiences, which is perhaps understandable in view of the fact that he began his career behind the sports desk.
But surely that's his problem and not a valid comment on competition per se.
Ah, but it is, you see, because my argument isn't really about sports. My argument is about the whole phenomenon of the competitive fact. You know, much as I abhor that title of
Psychic Murder
at the Chessboard, right, I do think it's singularly evocative. I'm not prepared to concede that the damage done to the ego, as Bobby Fischer would put it, of Petrosian or Bent Larsen or Spassky or anybody else who has felt compelled to exchange pawns with Fischer in the last few years, is, other than as a difference in kind, in any way distinct from the more easily quantifiable damage of the prize fight, for example.
Come on now, Glenn. Boris Spassky didn't end up out on his feet with an X-rayable concussion and the likelihood of scar tissue.
How do you know he didn't, psychologically? How do you know that the stress of those, how many did they play?
21 games.
Those 21 games couldn't be or hasn't been responsible for metabolic changes in his system. And in Fischer's, for that matter. We can't assume that victors are immune, you know. Every bit as drastic, at least in their ultimate physical results, as those suffered by any punch-drunk fighter. You see, I'm convinced that the distinction that you're trying to make, Harry, the distinction between, well, observable physical damage, eh, and the more insidious psychological damage of theoretically more genteel competitive enterprises like chess, I'm convinced that distinction is a peculiarly Occidental one.
How do you mean, Glenn?
Well, I think it's part of the Occidental willingness to separate the word from the deed, you know?
Sticks and stones and so on.
Exactly. There's some evidence to the fact that, well, as a matter of fact, McLuhan talks about just that in the Gutenberg Galaxy, that pre-literate people, or minimally literate peoples, are much less willing to permit that distinction.
Well, there's also the biblical injunction to will evil is to accomplish evil.
Precisely. And so all legal considerations aside, I don't think you can distinguish between Mr. Schoenberg's psychic murder at the chessboard and actual, if not necessarily intentional, murder in the ring or any other kind of murder for that matter. I'm convinced that one impulse, domination obviously, however sublimated it appears, however genteel, underlies all of those manifestations. And in every case, its form, its excuse, its access to evil, so to speak, is competition.
Wow, a thesis is born. Am I to assume, then, that you see the competitiveness of sport as a metaphor for other types of competition in life as well?
Absolutely, and that's precisely the point I want to pursue.
Well, before you pursue it, may I play you a brief interview that I taped earlier this week?
Oh, of course.
Well, when I heard that you were going to talk about sports and so on, I had a sneaking suspicion that you hold forth rather negatively on the subject. And it seemed to me that in the interest of fair play, which is probably not one of your favorite expressions, that we should give some celebrated sports figures a chance to assess their reaction to the sort of work they do and the sort of drives that compel them to do it.
Why not?
Well, then, you mentioned pugilists a while back, and I felt sure you'd get onto that tack. So I interviewed the up-and-coming young Canadian welterweight, Domenico Pastrano, in the studio, and here's an excerpt. Domenico, I guess I should congratulate you first of all, because I understand that according to Ring Magazine, you're now ranked number 9 in the world in your division.
Oh, geez, Mike, you must be reading some real hard day issues, you know, because, like right now, I'm listed as number 7. And,
well, in that case, congratulations are in order, Domenico.
Yeah, I'm number 7 right now, and I think it's a pretty good chance that next month's issue could be either number 5 or 6, actually.
That's really a remarkable achievement. Yeah. Very few Canadian boxers have ever reached as high a rating as that.
Yeah, I think you can pretty well count them like on the fingers of one fist, you know, them that's done the better, because it's a pretty political thing, and being number 7 in the world and all that, you know.
Well, now, just what do you mean by political, Domenico?
Well, like most of the guys that are up in front of me, supposedly that is, they don't want to mess with me because they know I'm pretty good and pretty fast and, like, they know they got a lot to lose losing to me, you know?
And very little to gain, I see.
Yeah, that's about it, yeah.
So what you're saying, Domenico, is that for the moment at least, you're confined to bouts with numbers 8, 9, and 10.
No, you got me all wrong, Mike. Because them guys are just trying to move up the ladder at my expense, you know? I mean, I don't see no reason I should give them a helping hand, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I see.
I mean, like, I'm getting a pretty good example of the sort of thing I'm talking about, you know, because, like, just that day, my manager's in the States, you know, and he was talking about the president down there, you know, Nixon. He was saying to me that I got to start thinking of myself like that, like Mr. Nixon, you know, because, see, Nixon is like the champ, you know, or maybe considering the Russians, you know, I might be the leading contender. I don't know exactly how to rate him, but anyway, he's pretty high up. You know.
Well, he's certainly the champ of his particular division.
Oh, sure. Well, like, I mean, I don't want you to think I'm comparing myself to him, you know, because I know I'm just number 7 in the world and all that, but, like, the point I was going to make, like, which my manager was making with me, is that, like, with this guy,
McGovern, George McGovern.
Yeah, that's the guy. Well, like, with him, I mean, but we were stupid for Nixon to come out and fight, you know, because, the main thing is that when you're the champ, you've got no place to go but down, am I right?
Well, your point is certainly well taken, Domenico. There is one question, however, I'd like to ask you, if I may.
Sure.
Well, I've often noticed that our leading sports columnists categorize you as a boxer rather than a fighter. In other words, they usually dwell upon the elegance and deftness of your movements in the ring. And in that regard, you're frequently compared to Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, that's a pretty fair comparison.
Rather than to Joe Frazier, for example. And the comment that I've noticed again and again in regard to your style is that you have a balletic grace in the ring. And I was wondering whether classical ballet had played any part in your life, or whether any particular dancers had influenced you.
Well, like, I ain't never gone in for that sort of thing too much, you know. But I remember one time on the Ed Sullivan Show, I think it was, there was a guy, I think he might have been from Russia, maybe named Rudy something or other.
Oh, Rudolf Nureyev, perhaps.
Yeah, could have been. And, like, I noticed with him that there was a certain similarity with my style, you know.
Well, that's exactly what I was getting at, you know?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, he was real fast, and his reflexes seemed to be okay, you know. And, like, when another dancer was coming toward me, he gave him a slip very good. But, like, the main thing I noticed about his style, you know, is that he kept out of the corners most of the time. I mean, he was mostly in the center of the ring, center of the stage, you get just caught. And, like, with my style, where I got a lot of speed and we're up against guys, which are pretty awkward probably, but maybe kind of dangerous.
Country and Western radio stations reach an average of 40 million people a year. Sound impressive? It should. It is.
I told Albert that the secret of reaching a country audience through the radio...
Country rock star Linda Ronstadt.
...is that you have to pick a song that deals directly and honestly with basic human emotions.
I don't experience basic human emotions. It's just not my thing. Except for patriotism. And that's very important, because it hit me, what better for country radio than a cut built around love of country? I'm very patriotic, very patriotic. I'll go to a game, and I'll stand up sometimes for the entire game.
So something I said must have clicked, because the next thing I knew, he ran to the phone.
A phone call to Americans. Hello? There's some Americans there? Oh, all right. Never mind. I'll write them a letter. A letter to Americans. Dear Americans, well, I was calling to invite you to a party. It seems that a certain country we both live in is celebrating her 200th birthday. But before you RSVP, maybe you ought to know a little more about the birthday girl. America was born on July 4th, 1776. The doctors thought she wouldn't live past her second birthday. Of course, they didn't have the medical technology we have today. Why, do you know today doctors can keep a man's kidneys alive even without his permission? And what about America's kidneys? The mighty Colorado, the majestic Mississippi, the blue Pacific. You know, the Pacific wasn't always blue. America was once a happy place, a place where there was no unhappiness. But then in 1802, something strange happened to change all that. I don't remember what it was, but I do know that when I read about it, it made me sick. And I had to stay in bed for a few days and drink plenty of liquids. Oh, I feel better now. Although I still throw up for no apparent reason. And at night, my feet seem to swell. And when they do, I feel bad until I think of the man who has no shoes. So where has it all led? To hamburgers, French fries, and a malted to go my country. Why can't we eat it here? There used to be a time when Mother's Day was a whole week in July. What happened, gals? There used to be a thing called the Liberty Bell. Oh, all right, maybe it's still there. But what about Texas and Brooklyn and Iwo Jima? Are they still there, too? Americans can put a man on the moon, yet we still forget our trash day. And there once was a man called Ruth. Funny name for a man, Ruth. Today we have golden arches, but our feet still hurt. We play the Star-Spangled Banner at ball games, but still one team always loses. We check into hotels, but hotels won't take our checks. Well, they won't take mine! Angry? You bet I'm angry, mister! For you see, I used to be one hell of a woman! Thanks for listening.
Regard to a screenwriting panel, which I was not on. The most unhappy people I have ever met are screenwriters. If what you're interested in is movies, then it's fine to be a screenwriter, but if what you're interested in is writing, it's absurd to be a screenwriter. It is not a writer's medium. You have no control, and as I always say, why do you think they give you all that money? I remember being on a panel at Books and Company because I haven't very frequently been on panels, maybe 24 times in my life. I remember all of them to some extent because I dislike being on panels. I don't like other people being allowed to talk. A panel always means that I'm going to be with about 6 people who don't agree with me. I suppose in an audience of 2,000 people, they won't agree with you, but they're not allowed to talk. I expect people to disagree with me, but I do not expect them to be allowed to talk. That is why I don't like being on panels. Thank you. Thanks.
In the middle, which represents the evolution of the world. It's cyclical, exactly like you. I heard you saying something about history being cyclical,
mm-hmm.
and then it's surrounded by knots that go all over. But the knot looks like a chain of knots. Actually, it's the movement of a knot that turns around and rolls and changes. Actually, so if you look carefully, you find out that it's not. You know, it looks like it's static, and actually, it's the movement that is described. Because the labyrinth is also described by a knot that turns, and you follow, you advance on the knot as it turns on the cycle. It's all those things that are linked with movement and observation of a point moving. But on the knot itself, there's two movements combined that creates this labyrinth. And about cyclical, it's the same thing. It's what's fascinating is that you find out all the art and all those myths are based on this topology of knots, right?
Right, yeah.
Topology is the mathematics of knots. And it's the most recent mathematic discovery today that helps us to describe DNA, physical, the superstrings as the basic element of the universe.
Well,
so it's
we're
all the field is completely new, but at the same time, it's not all the same.
My name is Thomas Vail, or at least it was. I'm a photographer. I had it all. A wife, Allison, friends, a career. And in one moment, it was all taken away. All because of a single photograph. I have it. They want it. And they will do anything to get the negative. I'm keeping this diary as proof that these events are real. I know they are. They have to be. It's been over 9 months since this twisted odyssey began. With every day that passes, I get farther away from my old life. Lately, I'm starting to doubt my ability to recall events accurately. Whatever hidden agenda is or was, is becoming less clear every day. Did I experience what I thought I did? And if so, were the events themselves real? Or could they have been staged? Maybe these doubts are a side effect of my current condition. I haven't slept in the last 9 days. Not an hour. Not a minute. Am I doing this to myself? Or is it what happens to a person who's been cut off for too long?
By the way, string theory is like the theory of evolution. Just some more white man trash. Keep the colored man down. String theory is really trying to get at the theory of resonance. They don't want to get there from here, and apparently they aren't. Theory of evolution, everybody knows that's bullshit. Just doesn't allow for enough time. There hasn't been nearly enough time. Plus, it's pretty much nonsense anyway. Ask randomness to explain things. According to some dominating male principle or other. New metaphysics. Double G Man at the steering post. Slaughtering the cattle as they come through the chutes. They've been raised on their own filth and refuse for months now. Time to end it. Begin the flow of capital return. Doesn't matter if my own kids are going to eat this crap, because I don't like them either. In fact, I think I'll go in for some myself.
Zeig dir, wer hier im Haus ist, ja?
Ja.
Verstehst du das?
Ja.
Lauter?
Ja.
Bisschen lauter.
Ja, ich verstehe dich.
Ja, dann ist...
I'm finding his own way to that. And so as the boy would grow, 6, 7, 8, into his then teens, certainly raised in a loving way, fighting with his brother, having battles as brothers are destined to do, compete and be envious and jealous and all that, and have the usual dynamics with Hector and his wife that boys have with their fathers and their mothers, but always a special relationship with this once removed father. And see, it was important that he be once removed so that there could be friendship. At a time that would come, Merlin had the sight, the seer of the falcon and of the dragon. And so he would raise him, and they would go out and play, and they would walk, and they would talk. And Merlin would tell him stories, and talk of his own childhood, and he would teach him the qualities of chivalry. Now, first he taught him honesty, for that is where it begins. And if one cannot be honest, then what follows is at risk of being folly. So he begins by teaching honesty. And the second lessons in the years that unfolded, following the progression, was next to be loyal. Not to Merlin, but loyal, to honor, to respect, to be loyal to himself, his own vulnerabilities, to know his weaknesses, to know his strengths. And even in the face of weakness, to be true to himself. And likewise to know and to be loyal to his father and to his family, to be loyal to the environment that he so naturally functioned in, so gloriously worked within, such a love of the land, such a love of the streams and the trees and the sky and each day for what nature would reveal, what nature would put forth on this plate of plenty called life. And then out of the honor, the honesty, and the loyalty, to develop a purpose beyond himself, something outside himself, you're not just in this lifetime to gratify your immediate needs. One need not ignore such needs, but here for something higher, something greater. And though you may not know what that is for many, many years, Arthur, you need to start looking, even now, and start searching for the purpose within, but also the purpose beyond. In that nobility, become wise. Seeing a bigger picture, looking beyond the logic and reason, looking to where this is leading you, to where you are going, as well as where you have been.
In situations such as fraud, I got fucked at the used car lot.
All the time. So I was pretty impressed by that, you know.
That's quite a trophy.
Yes, it's a revealing interview, I think.
Dare I ask whether you have any similar goodies in the icebox?
Well, no expense was spared this week, Glenn. We even ran up quite a telephone bill, as
really?
You'll hear. But I do believe we covered all the bases, if you'll pardon the expression.
That's way below the belt, sir.
Could I interest you in the proposition that a viable alternative exists to the man versus man, team versus team stratagems of competitive athletics.
You're going to tell me that man against himself, against the clock, against Mother Nature is the answer, I suppose.
Well, it does represent an alternative athletic lifestyle, and earlier in the week, I had a chat, more or less on that subject, with Jonathan Winans,
the BBC producer,
and by no coincidence whatever, one of his country's leading track stars.
Well, that...
Mr. Winans, this is Harry Brown. I'm with the scene in Toronto, Canada, and I...
Oh, yes. I was rather expecting the call, actually.
Well, I'm delighted that you're willing to grant us an interview, yes. Mr. Winans. But before we get to the subject of your athletic endeavors,
right.
I would like to ask you about one facet of all your recent productions which has fascinated me, and which I can safely say has intrigued most of the TV reviewers in this country.
Indeed.
And that is, of course, your persistent use of motives drawn from Czech, or perhaps I should say Bohemian, literature.
Oh, quite, yes.
I mean, we had, first of all, your absolutely dazzling 26-week series, Civilization of the Newt, which was, of course, based on the work of Karel Čapek.
Yes, but it was a terrible bore to produce, actually. As you know, virtually all of it takes place beneath sea level, and the location shots were a pain, quite frankly. We all got the bends at one time or another, and Sir Kenneth, of course, is a stickler for detail and an absolute brick, well, based on Strooper, indeed, I might say. But he does have this thing about working below 6 fathoms, it seems. So quite often we ended up with Lloyd Bridges at the standard and simply settled for voiceover, but I really shouldn't tell you that, old boy, so please don't tell me.
Well, it was a revelation in terms of production technique, nonetheless, sir. But it must have been a relief to you personally to get to work on the much more intimate 6 wives of Gregor Samsa.
Yes, well, of course, one's fascination with copy does grow apace, doesn't it? And it was an enormous challenge to search out a visual counterpart to his imagery, but I must confess to you that there's much that I do differently where I give him the chance.
Dominique Peugeot wants you to do a piece for the next issue. Dominique Peugeot was the receptionist at Interview. Yeah, but she's the executive editor at Frame now. She really wants you to do a piece. Probably the cover.
She really climbed up.
This is what I was talking to you about the other night. They really want to meet with you. They want to take you to lunch on Thursday.
I appreciate it, but I don't do that anymore.
Don't do what?
Industry work.
Well, it's not industry work. I mean, it's not like an assignment. You can do whatever you want.
Can I take pictures of you?
Right now? No. I feel like shit right now. I'm kind of wrecked.
You look really sexy, actually. I stopped working commercially 10 years ago. It was kind of a mental health decision. Actually, no, it wasn't a decision. I just made it impossible for myself to continue.
Impossible? How? I mean, what did you do?
I stopped showing up.
For what? I mean, why?
I don't know why exactly. I mean, why do people fuck up? I just seem sort of punk at the time.
I don't understand that exactly.
Well, I don't really know how to explain it to you, Sid. There just stopped being a line between me and work. And people were glomming on to something I was doing then. And I just got trapped. I mean, I love the attention, but I just couldn't handle the impact. I felt sort of pigeonholed. Sort of like I couldn't breathe anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The people at Frame think you're an amazing photographer. They just want to see you work again. I don't think that they want to trap you. I think they want to support you.
So, it's just this one woman and the water and mother?
Right. That's what I'm doing now.
And who's the woman?
Greta Kraus. She's a German actress. I've actually done a lot of work with her.
You done with that one?
Some more water, please. I'm sorry, are they portraits?
Right. Underwater portraits.
I have to say, Lucy, I love your older work. I find the realism incredibly honest.
Lucy, I think you work as a certain nerve right now. A cultural currency that we'd like to explore with you.
A cultural currency?
A certain cachet.
If I can interrupt, Lucy, what I think Dominique is saying is the public can appreciate the rigor of your work now, the intimacy and desolation of your subjects.
Lucy, we'd like to offer you the full cover.
And we think the best way to bridge the gap...
Well, to reintroduce.
Right, reintroduce you publicly is to revisit some of your older themes.
We are thinking of an essay, Lucy, rather freeform, a sort of an examination of your friends and your life.
You'd like me to examine my life.
We'd like you to go back to the place where... You left off. I know deadlines are a horrible sort of nuisance, but we would need to move on this immediately.
Right. Well, let me think about it.
We're usually not solicitous, Lucy. I mean, we receive thousands of submissions a year.
But we put some very promising photographers on hold for you.
You know, it's flattering, and it sounds interesting. But I really have to see about my other obligations.
Well, we would need a commitment from you today. Otherwise, we'd have to give the space to another photographer. It's just that close, unfortunately.
It's really yours to define, Lucy. I mean, I hope we've impressed that on you. This is not an assignment.
Of course, we'll help you shape it and select images.
But we really need to know now.